Again with
Good Friday, the day Jesus died, as we just sang about, all the wonderful cross, but also cause for trembling, right? Anytime that somebody dies, there are a couple of questions that typically are answered, right? Like, why and who? So, why did Jesus die, and who is ultimately responsible for that death? Well, 1 John 2:2 says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, and being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So to put it plainly, Jesus died for us, right? For me, for you, for my grandma, for your neighbor, for that one cousin, the strange aunt or uncle, the crazy guy that lives around the corner, any of them, right? That's ultimately why Jesus died. The Son of God had to taste death because of all of our sin, which also, unfortunately, makes us the ones responsible for his death, right? Every single one of us. Jesus died because I am a sinner, because we are sinners. So here's the thing about Good Friday, right? It may be good, but it's not necessarily happy Friday, right? Like, at the time, Good Friday didn't even seem good to those who were there. And today, it's a somber time to just be reminded of how bad things really are in the world. Like, the whole reason that Jesus had to get up on the cross in the first place. And Good Friday exists. We celebrate Good Friday because evil exists. Not just this abstract idea of evil, not just some extreme form of evil like war or something like that, but the evil, no matter how big or small we may think it is, that is inside each and every one of us, right? Each of us is responsible, to some extent, for the events of Good Friday and can claim no real responsibility for the resurrection, right? We had nothing to do with really the good part that we're going to celebrate on Sunday, and we had a whole lot to do with what happened today, almost 2,000 years ago. All we bring to the communion table is death. It's Jesus, it's God who ultimately brings and provides the life. So Good Friday is a reminder of the penalty for all the evil that is inside of each and every one of us and the extreme cost that had to be paid to get rid of that evil. This may seem like a bit of a downer, what I'm talking about, but I think it's important that we take this time to just reflect on the cross and to look at Jesus as he was in that moment. And it's an important starting place for the gospel in all of our lives and in the lives of those who we hope to reach with the gospel, is what Paul talks about in Romans 3, 9 through 20. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike, so that's everyone, are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. It is an important part of the gospel that we become conscious and that we, to some extent, remain conscious of our sin, because it is the degree to which we understand the evil and the sin that exists inside of us, the degree to which we wrestle with that, that we will ultimately be grateful for Jesus' sacrifice. They're directly related. The degree to which we understand that is the degree to which we will be grateful for Jesus' sacrifice. Think about it like this, okay? If you're sitting on your house, relaxing, you're sitting in your house, not on it, in it, relaxing, just on your couch, on a recliner, wherever you sit, whatever your spot is in your house, doing whatever it is you do when you sit in your spot, whether that's watching TV, playing video games, reading a book, doing crosswords, maybe it's just chatting with someone on the phone, whatever it is that you may be doing, okay? If you're sitting there just enjoying yourself and all of a sudden someone just bursts in, pulls you out of your spot, yanks you, throws you outside, you're just out there and you're like, what just happened, okay? If you look back and you think, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with my chair, there was nothing wrong with my house, like, you might be a little upset at whoever just did this, right? But if you look back and you realize that your house is on fire, like very, very on fire, and somehow you just didn't even notice, like, then you might be more grateful for what just happened, right? Like, you probably wouldn't even care if they interrupted a Kansas Jayhawk national championship game. You might still care, I don't know. But you probably, like, you'd probably be a little more grateful to be alive. Like, now you're going to get to see the end of it somewhere else. Right? Like, you might be more grateful for that. And be amazed that you didn't even realize your house was burning down around you at the time, right? So the degree to which we understand that evil exists, that our house is burning around us, completely burning down, and that Christ saves us from that evil is the degree to which we will be thankful for his sacrifice. If I think that I'm actually, you know, generally just a good person, and there's really not much going on bad in the world around me, then I might find it quite annoying that somebody bothered to push me out of my comfortable spot, right? Perhaps I would even run back inside and continue what I was doing. Like, what just happened? I need to get back to doing that. But if I realize that what has happened is that someone has sacrificed themselves, saving me from a burning fire, then I can't just go back into my living room and continue to do what I was doing. I mean, it's on fire, right? Somebody just died in there so that I could live. So I shouldn't put any more time and energy into that place that's burning down. I should get out of that place and move on to something hopefully better. And Jesus provides something better. Like, he says as much multiple times, a different kingdom, right? He says in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, he gives a couple of quick parables that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. The crazy thing about Jesus' death is not only does it save us from something completely worthless, a burning house, right? Something completely worthless, but it actually provides us with something priceless. How could we possibly refuse such a deal? Right? We'd be foolish to turn down that offer. And the only reason we would turn that down is if we don't really understand why Jesus died. Only if we don't understand how evil the sin is that he came to save us from. Because our options are to turn, really, we have two options, to turn from that sin to something that is completely not sin, totally incredible, very good, not evil, or we can just return to that same sin. Those are our options, ultimately. Like, not just in life, but every day, every moment that we make a decision, we can choose what is good or we can choose what is evil. And that is why we need Good Friday to be reminded of just how terrible sin and evil really is. No matter how small or how large that decision might be in the moment, so that we will be grateful once again for the sacrifice and turn and follow him. Because the degree to which we are grateful determines the degree to which we are faithful. Like, how grateful I am for what someone has done for me will determine how much I will follow them, how much I will go with them, spend time with them, do these difficult things that they might ask me to do. Matthew tells a parable that's mostly related. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew. Matthew 18, beginning of verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. That first servant, right, completely forgot how massive his debt was, or at least he didn't let how massive his debt was impact how he related to anybody else. And that's a problem. He left the king's presence and stopped thinking about it. He's been forgiven this huge debt, and yet his attitude towards everything else remained completely unchanged. He didn't have a spirit of gratefulness towards anyone around him. His gratefulness was entirely selfish. Are people like that with the cross sometimes? Grateful that I'm saved, but maybe we still look down on others. As Christians, a proper understanding of our sin should also lead us to treat everyone else with the same grace that we have been given. That same evil, right, that lurks inside of us is inside of everyone else. But just as we were saved, they can be saved. That's why Paul says later on in Romans 3 and verse 27, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith." And then in Galatians 6:14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Christians really should be, like we should be, I should be, one of the most humble people on the planet. Because we should recognize the depths of our own sin and know that the only salvation is the cross. And what is separating me from someone else is simply that salvation, or a proper understanding of it in whatever context we're having a disagreement. We should recognize the depth of our own sin. The same cross that is available to anyone and everyone is the cross that saved us. They simply have to take it up and follow, just like we were called to do and hopefully have done and are doing. The one who is on it, the one who got on that cross right today that we're remembering, he asked that much, that we would take it up and follow him. He asked that we extend that same invitation to everyone else as well. That's why he died. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what does the cross then mean to you? You see Jesus on that cross. What does it mean? Like, why did Jesus die? Right, here's some answers. Jesus died so that we, everyone, could be close to him once again. He died so that we could walk with him as in the cool of the morning in the Garden of Eden. Jesus died because he loved us. Jesus died because we sinned. Jesus died because we all reject God at different times and in different ways in our lives. Jesus died so that we could be close to him once more. And Jesus died to give us life. And I'm sure you guys have other reasons that you can think of. Do you understand why Jesus was on the cross? Because again, the extent to which you do will be the extent to which you are grateful for the fact that he's up there. It can be difficult to spend too much time looking at the cross, right? It's a painful reminder of how much that we have failed. But it is necessary, because it's to the extent to which we know and understand why Jesus is up there. The extent to which it pains us is the extent to which we will be grateful that pain was taken away on the cross. And the extent of our gratitude determines how faithful we will be. Will I be faithful all the way to the cross, as Jesus was? Will we still be faithful in dark times when it seems like he has died and abandoned us? Will our faithfulness know no bounds in the same way that his love knew no bounds? Again, all we bring to the table is death. Thank God for his provision of life. Isaiah 53, 4-6 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So I think it's at this time that we're going to take communion. And I don't really know how that goes. But